I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. Thanks to Denton Day for joining us in the last segment to talk a little college football. Cody Decker, host of Bet for the Cycle, along with another very handsome young man every Saturday from noon to four, joins us coming up in the very next segment as we preview the World Series, which starts up on Friday evening. Very much looking forward to that one. We'll talk a little bit about what Shohei and the Dodgers got to do to get by Aaron Judge in the Bronx Bombers as the Dodgers and the Yankees get set. Game one Friday night. We'll talk to Cody Decker, former Major League Baseball player, my co-host on Bet for the Cycle every Saturday, coming up in the very next segment of the show. Let's get to some NFL news and notes that are taking place right now. It's all but official at this point. The Kansas City Chiefs acquiring Tennessee Titans superstar DeAndre Hopkins. Now, this is interesting because, you know, I asked Denton Day, if I give you a slider and on one hand it says South Carolina's good and on the other hand it says Oklahoma stinks, where do you move that slider to talk about the outcome of that game? And he said, close to the middle with perhaps a slight shade over to Oklahoma stinking. So, DeAndre Hopkins is a guy
year. That bothered me a little bit because that's the stigma that's on South Carolina and been there for years. How could you lose to that team? It's always when they win, it's how could you lose to that team? The only way to get past that is to win consistently for years.
Oh, no, for sure.
On end,
let's be real. Not I think years on end. I think just consistently win. But I don't think it is tough to do this. And I'll come back to the nuke thing in a minute, but I do want to address this. This is one of those times that I know the way we do this show has a national feel to it. In my opinion, the way we do this show has a national feel to it. Because to me, like, I know there's a lot of people that tune in and all they want is Clemson football. All they want is South Carolina football. All they want is local football. But to me, they're sports fans from around America in a rapidly growing market here. We're going to get to a little bit of everything. So the national perspective does come into play. And to me, when I'm talking about my college football team, I do want the national perspective. I want the perspective of people outside of the box. Because our inherent biases are, even when you do your best to eliminate them, inherent biases are going to shine through. And I think that when you have somebody like Denton say, all right, I'm putting that slider right in the middle with perhaps a slight shade over to Oklahoma being bad, that doesn't say, no, South Carolina is actually not good. It's just Oklahoma. No, it's saying that's a good win. He started off the interview by saying, what a good win. What a great weekend for the Gamecocks. But also you have to understand it is a down year for Oklahoma. I think putting wins into perspective is as important as celebrating those wins. Speaking of wins, a win for the Chiefs. They get DeAndre Hopkins. All right. He has 15 catches for the year. He has not reached 200 yards of receiving yet. So, let's make another slider. On this end, Lonzo, I've got 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins is just too far past his prime. And on this end of the spectrum, I've got Will Levis and the Titans are just bad. They're just a bad football team, and Nuke's being dragged down by this team. Where's that slider go?
Can you name me the active receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs right now?
I can name you Xavier Worthy. I can name you Travis Kelce. I can name you
MVS.
I'm
just talking about receivers.
MVS and Worthy. Right?
Justin Watson. That's it. Just Watson and Worthy. I was just reading a thing that Schefter put out, and that's what he.
Oh, Juju Smith, not MVS. Yeah, sorry, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster.
And Juju Smith got hurt last week.
Yeah,
hurt his hamstring, so he's not going to play this week. So you bring Hopkins in; he's playing Sunday. He's absolutely playing
Sunday. Oh, for sure. I'm not disagreeing. I don't love it.
But the Chiefs have dealt with a wide receiver shortage all year long, and that's why they have triple tight ends in the game, which still I don't recall that ever happening ever. And at least two of those tight ends are receiving threats.
I do want to point out that it has been me from the beginning of the year saying the Chiefs are in trouble if one guy goes down.
By the way, but they haven't been now. Really?
You've been in some fist fights. If San Francisco's healthy this weekend, you lose.
Full strength last year.
We ain't talking about last year.
Full strength last year, they barely won. Full strength or not full strength, they're barely winning. Right now, as of this moment, they're still undefeated. And the only undefeated team in the NFL.
For sure.
They're going to lose some.
For sure.
Probably multiple games.
For sure.
Eventually.
For sure. Not disagreeing with any of that. I'm saying if San Francisco last weekend is fully healthy, you lose that game.
So one thing that Hopkins has had to deal with, especially the last couple years, is who's throwing him the ball.
So that was my initial question to you was, on the slider, of which one end is, the man's 32 years old, of course he's past his prime, and on the other end is, Will Levis stinks and the Tennessee Titans stink. Where do you place that slider? Because to me, it's not one or the other. It is some combination of both. I'm just asking, which one is more? Is it more DeAndre's just a 32-year-old wide receiver and he's fallen off? Or is it more, that's how bad Tennessee Titans are, they made this man look bad?
All right, prediction here. Hopkins comes in, starts Sunday, gets hardly any catches at all, and everyone makes a big deal about it. But you know why? He will get limited catches. Because he's going to be double covered. Because who else are they going to double cover? Kelsey. I mean, that's it. But they're going to come in and go, oh, look, it's Hopkins. They're definitely throwing him the ball. He's the best receiver on the team. So I don't know that he comes in and is uber productive right away.
It's fair.
But he does what Kelsey had done for Rashee Rice the end of last year and the beginning of this year. All the focus was on Kelsey, so Rashee Rice was open. Hopkins is going to do much of the same thing.
I'm going to come back to this, but I did just get my favorite text of the day. Texter said, Rob, I'll be honest, I tried the other local sports talk option that focuses on just the local teams. Talk about being boring, monotone, and bland all day long. It's like listening to Bill Lumberg all day.
Okay, you got to say, what is that, like a PBS or NPR guy?
Slept with Lumberg?
Oh. Okay.
It is from a movie called Office Space.
Oh, okay.
Bill Lumberg was the boss in Office Space.
I did see Office Space, but it was a long time ago. So.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to have that TPS report on my desk by Friday.
Was that Lumberg?
Yeah.
That guy. Okay.
Yeah.
He's been used in so many different commercials and things for just that sort of thing.
I'm going to need you to stop now. Lumberg, not you. It's okay. A Lumberg impression.
All right.
That's a great text. I'm honestly, that might be my favorite compliment I've ever gotten.
Here's the one thing about this show is you have no idea what's going to happen because we don't.
Correct. This show doesn't take left-hand turns. This show is just an F1 track. It's left, right, up, down, back, forth.
We're spinning the entire time.
I know what the topics are I have planned to get to, for sure. But then sometimes somebody sends a text about being, other people being the Bill Lumbergs of radio. And it's a compliment that warms the icy cold heart in my chest. Thank you, Texter. That means the world to me. And Hurricane Jeff said, Lonzo, you are handsome. So
I thought you said he said I was pretty. There's a difference.
Texter also said, Lonzo screened in my text, Ohio State lost back-to-back games literally last year. It wasn't one of them a bowl game. Did you guys lose your bowl game last year?
Probably. I don't recall.
Last year was so last year, dude. It was so last year. So 2000 and late. Let's see. Let's go back to last year just because I was curious.
Well,
one was a bowl game.
I was going to say, the only way you lose two in a row is they were undefeated going into Michigan. They lost to Michigan. And they would have to lose.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, we move on to the next season.
I'm going
to
be.
What we do. Wow, wait. I hope you didn't look that up. I hope you didn't have that memorized.
Me?
No, the texter.
Oh. No, I mean, it's okay if you do. I'm just going to say, I don't give a rat's hindquarters about bowl game results. It drives me nuts when we get to the next year and they're like, well, they went on and they beat so-and-so in the Cotton Bowl. I don't care. Nobody gives a damn about bowl games that aren't playoff games anymore.
If I recall, the starting quarterback decided to leave the team before the bowl game. I could be wrong
about
that.
That's why nobody cares.
Yeah.
The team, this is why.
The only bowl games that really matter are back then were like three bowl games because it was four game, the four-team playoff, and now it's going to be a lot more. A lot more bowls matter this year.
This is why I sincerely, genuinely laugh when people are like, oh, yeah, Rob, Florida State should have gone to check. Look what Georgia did in the bowl game. I don't think you understand how much I don't give a damn. I don't care. I don't care. If you think that the Florida State that played in the bowl game against Georgia was in any way, shape, or form a representation of the Florida State team that went 13-0 and won the ACC title in the regular season, you just don't know ball, or you didn't watch it. If that is the case, you are what I call a real-life meme. You're just a meme. You're a meme fan. You're not a fan of the game. You're a fan of the meme. And that's okay, because memes are fun, and they're funny, and they're entertaining. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm big in the meme game. I'm big in the meme game. All right? Big in the meme game. But if you look at a bowl game, and you think in the year 2024... you think that bowl games are in any way, shape, or form a representation of what college football teams actually are, you don't watch. You're bad at this. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm talking any of them. There are, like, I will say this. Georgia's team in that bowl game last year was about as close to a representation of what their team looked like in the regular season as anybody that I can remember in recent memory. Honestly, that's the closest I can come. Ohio State's 14-3 loss in a bowl game against Mizzou was in no shape, way, or form a representation of what the Buckeyes were last year. Just not at all. You had Amika Egbuka and Travion Henderson playing in that bowl game. And outside of that, just about every other name that played, including Lincoln Kineholtz, the illustrious Lincoln Kineholtz as the starting quarterback, none of that was what Ohio State was in the regular season. Just like Florida State had how many guys that skipped that bowl game because they went to go get NFL draft ready? Like, stop it. Just stop it. Listen, I love bowl games, okay? I love bowl games. I watch everybody. I promise you, I watch more bowl games than all of you because I get paid to do it. So during bowl game season, Rob and Lonzo leave the studio, and we walk down the hallway to the Fortress of Nerditude, and Rob Brown puts on whatever ridiculous tiny, tiny bowl game is going on. The Popeye's Bahamas Bowl, I'm all in. I'm all in. The Poinsettia Bowl, I'm all in. The Poland Weed Eater Bowl, I'm all in. That's not a real one anymore, but it used to be. I'm all in. I watch every one of them. I will watch San Jose State take on Sam Houston State University. I don't care. I watch every one of them because I know that when these bowl games are over, we go into our slumber. We go into 15 months without college football. I'm watching all of them. But I watch them to be entertained because I love football. I don't watch them because they are in any way, shape, or form a representation of what those teams were in the regular season. I don't care. I don't care. All right, here's what we got to do. We got to run to a break. When we come back, Cody Decker is my co-host on Saturdays on Bet for the Cycle from noon to four on the BetQL Network. He is a former Major League Baseball player. He is also my friend. Good guy. All right? We're going to talk to him because he's got a full breakdown of the Dodgers and the Yankees. The World Series starts on Friday. Texas said, Rob, follow up. I'm from Boston and have listened to a ton of sports talk radio stations across the East Coast. Not blowing smoke up your behinds. Seriously. As entertaining and unpredictable in the best way. From Baston Scott. Scott! Appreciate that text from Fenway Pack. Take your cat in the back. All right, I'm not going to do that. That's you were very nice to me.
Said you're not going to do it, but you just did it.
I don't know what to tell you. I hear Baston, I do a Baston accent. Not a good one. Wicked. Scott, appreciate that, man. That's very kind of you. Cody Decker next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world, for free on the Odyssey app. And do not forget on the Odyssey app to go to the Fan Upstate page, click that little circle microphone button, and leave a 60-second voice note on the Ray Memorial Hotline. It comes directly to the laptop. You can say anything you want to me, uncensored, unfiltered, 24/7, 365 on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click the microphone button and leave that voice note.
Since it's just for you, that means I can leave you messages on there. I never really thought about that.
You just tell me to my face and all that colorful language you use.
Now I'm doing it. I will never be forgotten again.
Hey, let's go on the stream. I was going to say the phone line, but we're not doing that because the illustrious, the magnificent Cody Decker, my co-host on Saturdays on Bet for the Cycle, which airs from noon to four on the BetQL Network on some radio stations somewhere. We're still working on finding out exactly which ones that is. Although I have been told that after the football season's over, they will add this one to the mix. So I know we'll be on Greenville after the football season's over. But it's World Series season up in here. Deck, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Oh, Rob Brown, how you doing, my guy?
I'm great, pal. I don't know why we're talking to each other in that tone of voice. It got real quick.
No, it got right real fast.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Cody Decker joining us here on the show as we get set for the World Series. Yankees and Dodgers, first pitch on Friday evening. I want to get to the World Series, Deck, but let's start with a conversation that you and I had on Saturday. This postseason was awesome.
The best I've ever seen, Rob. Literally, I'm not saying that as hyperbole. I'm not saying that as figuratively. It is literally the best postseason I've ever watched. I'm talking banger after banger after banger of the series. And those of you that are baseball purists that want the big names in there, well, dude, you don't got bigger names than Los Angeles Dodgers and New York Yankees. You don't have bigger names than Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. You don't have more history. I love that Major League Baseball is finally starting to get away from the history that it's so badly wants to club us over the head with over and over and over again. Well, back in 1943, Old Hoss Radburn did this. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Baseball was barely what it is now. Baseball right now is so hot and so much better than it's ever been. And yeah, I'm going to say something that you don't hear very often. I've said it to you dozens of times, though, Rob Brown. My God, dude, Rob Manfred. Say what you will, this guy has done incredible work as the actual commissioner. Those of you that think differently these last 5 years, you're just flat out wrong. The pitch clock has absolutely revolutionized the game. The competitive balance schedule has revolutionized the game. Like every little thing he's done, the National League DH, we were just sitting on the technology for 35 years. He did give that to us. Now, granted, has he had missteps? Oh, my God, yes. Misstep after misstep after misstep. Calling the commissioner's trophy a piece of metal once was a pretty bad look. Handling of the last two different CBAs was a horrid look. But here's what I learned in the last CBA. Rob Manfred learned something. He truly did. After that CBA went as south as it did, and we almost had ourselves a potential strike in this last CBA, Rob Manfred has been on good guy duty ever since. And quite frankly, the man deserves to have his flowers, and baseball has never been in a better spot. I'm not more excited than I've ever been. 1981, Rob Brown, I wasn't alive for another 6 years. I'm getting Dodger Yankees in the World Series. This is incredible stuff.
Yeah, I, you know, it's here's how I put it. This is how good this postseason was. Noted Atlanta Braves fan Rob Brown was entertained thoroughly and almost in a weird way, don't ever say I said this, pulling for the Mets because of how electrifying that team was. Pulling for the Guardians because there's nothing I love more than a plucky underdog and is prepared to be entertained in the World Series by two of my least favorite teams, the big corporations that are the Dodgers and the Yankees. The fact that I have all these biases as a fan, yet have been locked in to the playoffs since game one of the wild card series, Deck, that is a testament to what baseball did this season to create these playoffs.
Absolutely. And truly has been one good thing after another. And you mentioned, and the teams you mentioned, I mean, obviously the Mets. Now, I have pushed back a little bit calling them the Cinderella story that everybody keeps trying to claim them to be. Normally, Cinderella isn't the richest person at the ball, but I do understand what everybody was saying because the beginning of the season was such a calamity for them. And then after they had that meeting, they turned things around from June on. They were the best team in baseball. The Dodgers, obviously, yes, the corporation they are, and the Yankees, the corporation that they are. But the Cleveland Guardians, I mean, they were just a sight to behold. This is a team that's not going to go anywhere for years to come. Honestly, the reason they're not in the World Series right now is the reason they were in the playoffs, and that's Emmanuel Clase. The guy gave up 5 runs on the season. I think he gave up 6 in the playoffs, and he gave up 3 home runs in the playoffs after giving 2 home runs in the entire season. Quite frankly, that is something that's kind of an outlier. I don't know if that's one of those Lamar Jackson October type of January type of things, but that's what we watch from Emmanuel Clase. And even though it was a 5-game series, Rob Brown, did the Cleveland Guardians versus the New York Yankees at any point feel like a 5-game series? I felt like I watched 11 of a 7-game series.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. And that to me is the perfect metaphor for just what playoff baseball was. There were games, you go back to the wild card round. 3 of the series ended in 2 games, not 3. And yet every one of them had you puckered up the whole ride. Like, it was just spectacular. Let's turn our attention, Cody Decker, to the World Series upcoming, the Dodgers and the Yankees, as you mentioned. Listen, if you are a believer that for the game to present the best version of itself, you need the biggest names in the game presented in the game, you got it. Shohei Ohtani, to me, I got into a fight with a buddy of mine yesterday, because I am on the record as saying I think Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player to ever walk the face of planet Earth. There's nothing that he can hit, he can pitch, he can run, he can field. There's nothing he can't do. On the flip side, with the addition of Juan Soto to the Yankees, we finally got to see a season's worth of exactly what the hell Aaron Judge is, and now we get them up against it for a big piece of metal. Dude, I can't stand either one of these teams, and I'm not missing a pitch.
Not one. Not one pitch. I cannot wait to watch this. And anyone that says Shohei Ohtani is not the best baseball player who's ever walked the face of the earth is an idiot. I don't know what to tell you. You have to watch Shohei Ohtani and see how incredible this man is. This man, I said at the beginning of the season on our show, Rob Brown, on Bet for the Cycle, every Saturday, noon to 4, on the BetQL network and all over the country, of course. I have to tell you this, Rob Brown, and it's been driving me nuts. I said that he would not win the MVP. And I was adamant about it. No DH has ever won the MVP, let alone a National League DH. He's going to have to do something that's never been done in the history of baseball.
Hey, Cody, he did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Give him the MVP and name it after him. He's the greatest player I've ever seen. And by the way, he did. Those of you that are saying, well, he didn't put a glove on and didn't take the field. Dude, he rehabbed an entire Tommy John surgery throughout this entire season. This was the injured Shohei Ohtani that we had this season, and he set records and did things we've never seen before. Hell, I had callers on my show on Mad Dog Sports Radio calling to say that, oh, he's not even showing up in the playoffs. 17 for 22 with runners in scoring position, 3 home runs, and he hit .365 in the playoffs so far. If that's the bad Shohei Ohtani, I am terrified for the Yankees if the good Shohei Ohtani shows up.
I'm intrigued because on the flip side, because I agree, Showtown is the best to ever do it. And the fact that we both agreed at the beginning of the season on that point, and now we both agree at the end that the National League MVP is just the Shohei Ohtani award at this point. there's dudes on the on that roster aside from Shohei Ohtani, because if it was not for Ronald Acuña doing something nobody had ever done before last year, you'd have the reigning defending undisputed NL MVP on this roster. You got Freddie Freeman, who is not at his best playoffs, but he's also been playing in the playoffs on a broken freaking leg, as Kurt Angle might call it. You've got dudes scattered around. You have been talking all year about how this Dodgers pitching staff, it may be the most banged up pitching unit we've ever seen, and still World Series caliber when it's all said and done. I'm having a hard, listen, I like the Yankees and what they've done. I'm having a hard time not picking the Dodgers in five.
I got them in six. I got the Dodgers in six, and that's just a flat-out thing. I think they are going to be able to swipe away two games, but like you said, this Dodger team, and by the way, those of you that think Dave Roberts isn't the best manager in baseball, you're also wrong. Dave Roberts is the best manager in baseball. What this man has done all season long, I know we all look at the Dodgers and that conglomerate, like, well, they have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani. Okay, let's go through the list. Shohei Ohtani, yeah, put up incredible numbers, did incredible things this year, but he didn't pitch this year, so he was technically injured for this season, and you missed out on half the thing that he's astonishing for. He's supposed to be one of your ace, if not your number two. They didn't have Walker Buehler pretty much all season, and when he came back, he's been kind of a shell of himself, even though he showed up in that final game against the Mets. Clayton Kershaw out for the year. Tony Gonsolin hasn't been around. May hasn't been around. Gratterall, I don't think, has pitched. I'm starting to wonder if I've ever seen Gratterall pitch. I'm looking back into my mind, and I don't even remember what the man looks like. They were without Mookie Betts for two months. They were without Max Muncy for 3 months. They're without Freddie Freeman in the playoffs. And somehow, with rookie starters, rookie relievers, and just a mishmash of just random guys. Guys, Tommy Edman just won NLCS MVP. Tommy Edman, four-hitter Tommy Edman. Dave Roberts is a magician, and anyone that says otherwise, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
So then, let's look on the other side of the equation, because we both got the Dodgers, so let's talk about what the Yankees can do. Number one, start with that manager, because you I think you're spot on about Dave Roberts. Aaron Boone on the other side is a dude that took a team, manipulated to get Juan Soto in there, was able to massage the lineup. When Stanton had a couple of cold streaks, they worked around it. When Judge had a bit of a cold streak where he had 372 home runs in a five-game span and then didn't hit one for a month, they worked around it. Everybody, I think, looks at this Yankees team as living and dying with the long ball like the 2021 Braves did, but he, Soto, and Stanton have all had moments where they kind of fell off, and Boone worked around those well enough. I agree the managing edge goes to the Dodgers here. I think Boone needs some flowers for what he's done with this team this year, too.
Yes. Yes, he does. And trust me, I'm in New York City, and I hear it all the time. If the Yankees lose one game, oh, this is Cashman and Boone's fault. And then if they win, somehow it's not Cashman and Boone's fault. It's the weirdest thing. It's honestly the most insane fan base I've ever seen, in that they're just truly unhappy all the time. And I don't know why. You're the Yankees. You got 27 rings. You should act like you've had 27 rings, not act like you deserve the 27 rings. Act like you won the 27 rings. Boone's done an incredible job. He's done an incredible job with his bullpen. And those of you that said, well, he doesn't have a closer, that's not Boone's fault. And those of you who want to yell all at Cashman for not having a closer, look throughout Major League Baseball. Who is the one team that had the one certified closer in baseball, Rob Brown?
That would have been the Cleveland Guardians.
Literally the only team that had the shutdown closer. He had the worst playoffs of any pitcher in baseball.
Clause got hammered.
So it sounds to me like everyone in Major League Baseball has a closer problem in this game. The Dodgers have a closer problem. They've been closing it by a committee for the entire season. Yeah, Blake Treinen probably gets the majority of them, but he's not technically their closer. And the Yankees, they don't have a closer either. They go with Weaver. They go with this guy. They go with that guy. Quite frankly, they don't have a guy in the bullpen with swing and miss stuff. They just got guys who have great arms that can eat a lot of innings. So they have a very good bullpen. What this all comes down to for me, Rob Brown, it's coming down to the bats, and I give the Dodger bats the edge. If the Yankee bats, though, the big bats, we're talking the Sotos, the Judges, and the Stantons are doing their job, though, who knows? Because this could end up being just slugfest after slugfest. These could be 10-9 ball games. These could be 13-11 ball games. But then again, I've also seen the Yankees in this playoffs be a little quiet. They could be 3-1 ball games. It's fascinating because I honestly do not know what we're going to see. I can guess five different things, and I can see each one of them happening.
So we're just slamming the over all seven games.
I'm slamming the over all seven games, man.
Cody Decker, former Major League Baseball player, co-host on Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL Network with me, and we'll be back this Saturday to do it all over again. Also a host on Beadle and Decker on SiriusXM, which is a phenomenal afternoon listen if and when you get the chance. Just a handsome devil. Appreciate you, big dog. You're the best.
No, you're the best. Also, I don't know if anybody knows this. You should check out his Instagram, Rob Brown's, because his shoes at his wedding. Oh, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
I don't disagree. UNC Chris texted the show and said, I like baseball. Rob and Decker are straight in love. Y'all sound like I do when I talk to my four-year-old about Pokemon we're building. I love the passion. We get paid to talk about baseball. We're going to do the best baseball show you ever heard.
Bro, wait till one of these guys call in and ask us about the Green Lantern.
Oh, it's all over. It's all over. Cody Decker, let's do it again next week when we got some games to talk about, buddy.
Fine.
Done. Cody Decker, host the Bet for the Cycle, along with me, Saturday noon to 4, including this Saturday on the BetQL Network. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up the third hour of the Rob Brown Show. Thank you again to both Cody Decker and Denton Day for joining the show to talk some college football and baseball with us. Coming up on tomorrow's edition of the radio broadcast, we have got at 8 o'clock, we have got Lulu Kessin coming on the show. I was following old friend of the show, Emily Adams, who is now up in Connecticut, covering UConn sports and the WNBA. She was actually at the WNBA finals on game 5. Spectacular follow. But Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News will join us here on the show to talk Gamecock football after the win over Oklahoma and to talk a little bit about what the Gamecocks need to accomplish during the bye week. Bye week number 2 for the Gamecocks. We'll also be joined, of course, by Rashad Beard, the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Andy Dalton involved in a car accident yesterday. Did get checked out by team personnel. We do not have any more information since then. So we'll see if it has any impact, whether we see Bryce Young back into the QB1 role or not after that. We have already gotten some hint about that earlier in the week from Dave Canales, who effectively said, no, Andy Dalton is our starter for right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But we'll talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast about that tomorrow. That, of course, at 8:40, 9 o'clock. Hayden asked Mario from the BetQL Network will join us, and we'll take a look at some of the big NFL news, notes, and storylines. We'll see what impact the trade for Nuke DeAndre Hopkins leaving the Tennessee Titans on his way up to Kansas City, Missouri to be the new weapon for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We'll see what impact that has for the Chiefs and the rest of the AFC. And at 9:20, Fight Club, which I got to tell you, I'm predominantly really excited just to talk about one potential rivalry that we got a little glimpse of on Monday Night Raw this week, and
does it have to do with werewolves?
We got any dogs barking in Greenville, South Carolina.
A werewolf versus a dog.
I'm pretty jacked. Dude, that's a big meaty man slapping meat is what that's going to be.
Also, Halloween Havoc is this weekend, so we'll be talking about that.
Speaking of, I never circle back around. I'm going to assume, because of the fact that it hasn't yet been celebrated, that I'm not facing the wall per our last picks. Because I got to tell you, I picked the last AEW pay-per-view completely blind.
No, you did not. That's the only one I'll say. I'm slowing it a little bit right now.
You're wetting it?
I'm taking a hiatus from the wall for now. Because I'm tired of lugging all the guns up to the station, and then something happens and we don't get to, the person doesn't get to face the wall. So I might even like stack all these up for Christmas.
Just one person's on the wall until we're out of darts.
Well, it might
be in the upstate.
Yeah, for like a minute and a half to 10 minutes. Yes.
So we'll talk Fight Club tomorrow at 9:20. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we'll do the audio blitz. Normally at 8 o'clock, but we were stacked up with guests there, so got a little behind. We'll do the audio blitz coming up in the opening segment of the next hour of the show, the best audio we have found from the last 24 hours. I got a couple of clips I really like, a couple I'm interested in, and one where Pat McAfee basically says, hey, everything Rob Brown said preseason, he was spot on and exactly correct, and you should give him props for that.
Did he say your name in it?
No, okay. But that's because I texted him, and I'm like, listen, I don't need you, you know, I don't need you gassing me up that much. I got a big enough ego as it is, so you can just take my point and make it for me. And he did. So we got the audio blitz coming up for you at 9 o'clock. At 9:20, we'll take a look at some of the bigger NFL games and take our way too early look at what the NFL schedule looks like coming up, and more. I do want to get to something that Cody Decker said. We were talking basketball before we went on the air with Deck in the last segment, and the Bronny LeBron story from last night came up. Cody Decker, big Laker guy. He's from L.A.
Wow. Big Laker guy. He wasn't animated at all about that.
No, Cody Decker's got feels about this whole thing. He said, Rob, did you stay up to watch the absolute and entire manufactured history last night? In fact, he went on so far as to say, that's not history. He said the way that Griffey Jr. and Sr. did it, that was organic, that was legitimate, that was historic. This one is manufactured in plastic. And I said, oh, you mean Los Angeles. He didn't really like that, but I got the vibe he was saying, which is, do we respect the history of Bron and Bronny being in the show together if it was fully and entirely forced by LeBron? And my answer was, I still do. Because in order for that to happen, LeBron still got to play to be 40 years of age. Bronny has still got to be an NBA caliber player. It's not like, this wouldn't be like if LeBron James drafted me to the Lakers. He's still an NBA talent.
This was a jaded fan view, and that's fine. That's what fans do, because from if you want to go along that line of thinking, then no father-son duo or mom-daughter, which definitely could be a possibility also, like the WNBA, should ever bother doing it, because it's only been, you know, there's only one moment in time, one moment that was historic, and that was Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. Everybody else is going to be manufactured.
I think that, because you've had more than Griffey Jr. and Sr. You've had Griffey Jr. and Sr. You had Bobby and Barry Bonds. I think that one was organic. They played together. I'm trying to think of more that actually played together. Not like we're both in the league. I'm talking about we're on the same team. And I don't think there's a ton more. I think we're pretty much almost at the exhaust end of the list.
Well, basketball and baseball are probably going to be the only sports you could do that, except for wrestling, obviously.
Sure.
But other than that, that's never going to happen in football.
No, it's never going to happen in football. Well, I mean, technically it could, but it would require, much like LeBron, it would require a Tom Brady. Like, Brady could have done it, right? Brady played until he was older than LeBron is now. So, is it impossible? No. But, and the reason why I said to Deck, even if this is totally manufactured, it's still impressive in that LeBron had to make it to 40 years of age to have enough time to have a kid, have that kid go through elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and get here. And the kid's got to be working. Because listen, if Bronny was a flat-out bad basketball player, right? If he was just bad, then the Lakers are gonna say, no, dude, we can't draft. If Bronny was me in my 20s, they'd be like, no, dude, we're not bringing your kid here. Like, sorry, respectfully.
Well, some people are acting like that he's that bad.
Yeah, and for the record, I do not think that Bronny James is NBA quality today. That's not saying he never will be. I think Bronny just has some development to go through, which, for the record, I also think is true of every player drafted from about 5 down.
Right.
Okay?
And that's how it's been for years in the NBA.
For sure. So if LeBron James isn't on the Lakers, is Bronny James on that opening night roster last night? No, probably not. Probably not. But he was. In order for that to happen, not only did LeBron James...
Who did the Lakers draft last year?
Nah, who the hell remembers?
I mean, that's...
The NBA draft might be the most irrelevant draft outside of baseball.
Who they draft the year before. I mean, so again, I don't know that he wouldn't be on there.
If LeBron James... No, I am comfortable saying Bronny James would not have been on the opening night roster last night if LeBron James wasn't his A dad and B on the team. All right? If he's Bronny Smith, he might still be drafted by the Lakers. In fact, I'd say he was getting drafted by somebody. But if he's Bronny Smith...
See, that's what I was saying, and now you're agreeing with me.
No,
it could have been the Lakers.
What I was thought, it could have been the Lakers. What I'm saying is he wouldn't have been on the opening night roster. He'd have been developmental right now, okay? But he wasn't. But in order for that to happen...
Still the G League, right?
Yes.
Okay, it would have been in G League, probably.
In order for that to happen, LeBron James has to play until he's 40, which very few players do. Play till he's 40, father a kid that he then develops into an NBA talent, have that kid go develop enough away from the NBA to be ready for the league and be worthy of that draft pick and that selection to the roster. That in and of itself is impressive. Whether or not Bronny is an opening day roster guy, if his name's Bronny Johnson or Bronny Smith or Bronny Brown, whether or not that's true, the fact that it happened is impressive because of what it took from both Bronny and LeBron to create that situation. So it is impressive to me that it happened. Now, do I think Bronny should stay on the roster? No, I don't. I think you send him to get developed somewhere. I think you send him down to a developmental league and you let him grow his game away from that. My man is on the LA Lakers. I might even feel different, though, if this was the Dallas Mavericks. If this was the, I don't know, Utah Jazz, Phoenix Suns. I'd feel different about it. But it's you put him on the biggest stage under the brightest lights in Los Angeles, California, with the face of the NBA in terms of franchises, the LA Lakers. That's a decision. That's a decision. You know what else is a decision? This one, to go to break after Lonzo reads his sports flash.
He'd be starting if he was on the Hornets. Just saying. Oh. Yeah, what? The Boston Celtics began their title defense last night with a 132-109 win over the Knicks at home. Boston made 29 three-pointers, tying the record for most in a game by a team, but then they missed their final 13 shots. Jason Tatum had 37 points, and Derrick Brown added 24. Believe it or not, after all this talk, the Lakers actually won. They knocked off the Timberwolves last night, 110-103. Anthony Davis shot 11 of 23 from the field and added 13 free throws in a 36-point effort, while LeBron James added 16. Lakers created 15 turnovers off Minnesota. The rest of the league begins tonight, including Charlotte at Houston at 8 o'clock. And make sure you tune in this Friday night as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg. Right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. That's us right here on The Fan, Upstate.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.